الحمد لله, peace be with you. Welcome back to the Dean Show. I'm here to your host and in the Dean Show studio. For those gamers out there who love playing Grand Theft Auto, my next guest was on the soundtrack that in the first week sold 6 million records. And he was with the likes of Russell Simmons, was hooked up with the Def Jam, was around many famous celebrities, rappers, worked with Nike, and the brother today is helping in his community, doing so many good things, helping people stay away from trouble. So we're gonna go ahead and dig a little bit into his life and his experiences so we can all benefit with my next guest, Kathir Lateef, here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show.
Back here on the Dean Show, special guest in the Dean Show studio. How you doing, my brother? You pay for the play for the Chicago Bears?
No. Huh?
You play football?
No, I played basketball in college.
Basketball? Yeah. Were you weren't in the NFL?
No.
Some people might think, man, this brother's a running back.
Yeah, I hear that we not a runner. Defensive line. Yeah. Defensive. I hear it all the time.
Alhamdulillah. So 6 million records, yeah, or 6 million sold in the first week.
Yeah.
Russell Simmons. People know Russell Simmons. Mm-hmm. What's he with? Bad Boy? No, not Bad Boy. Def Jam. Jam Master Jay.
Yeah.
All of these rappers, people idolizing them. Mm-hmm. And you were stuck in that rut for a little bit, but you got out.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
So tell us a little bit about this. Tell us a little about your bio and, you know, this 6 million soul Grand Theft Auto.
Well, Kathir Lateef, I went to Howard University to play basketball on a scholarship, and I performed poetry, and we did an event for Russell Simmons, and I performed last, and at the end, Russell Simmons sent his contact, and they came to me and said, you know, we want to work with you, and this, you know, they said, you know, they gave me many, you know, compliments, and a couple weeks later they invited me to perform at Jam Master Jay's memorial at a private event in Jamaica, Queens, and I started meeting so many people, like getting business cards, and just people started reaching out, you know.
The dunya started opening up to you, huh?
It started opening up, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it started opening up. You know, started doing a lot, started traveling a lot. And I got management, and I started working, you know, and even though, you know, it's in the halal, and then you try to keep it halal, when you let little things get in, you know, it kind of soils it. So I was doing work for Nike, for Reebok. I'm working with DJ Green Lantern. That was Eminem's DJ at the time, but now he does DJing for Nas and Jay-Z. We did a lot of different things. We did a whole mixtape project, featured Wyclef on there. Styles P was on there, you know, a lot of other MCs. And it kind of, you know, you start chasing it. Like, once you start getting around it, you really want to start, like, you want to be big and you want the money. So, you know, you start compromising. You know, you start compromising your beliefs and you start compromising who you are. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, my last biggest accomplishment, it was in 08 or 07. I submitted a song to the Grand Theft Auto 4, the last one that came out. And it was on a video game, but they had a special soundtrack. And there was so many artists on the video game, like, you know, hundreds, that they only could pick, like, you know, 17 artists. So it's going to be, like, mainly signed artists. But they picked four rappers, and it was Nas, which was signed, Mobb Deep, Busta Rhymes, and they picked me. And they picked my song to go on the soundtrack, and they sold it with the video game. and it sold, you know, 6 million in the first week. It broke records on how many albums. So people started talking about the song, and the song started being on the internet, and people, you know, on websites, and just, it really started blowing up. But at the same time, I was getting really, you know, for some reason, I could never just be comfortable in it. I could never, my wife, you know, my kids, I'm looking at them, they're always reminders, you know, but you put yourself in these situations. And these situations in the club, you know, people smoking, drinking, wilding. And after a while, you almost get yourself caught up. So, you know, alhamdulillah, man, Allah gave me the insight and the courage to, you know, to just put everything down, to just, you know, focus and really make a comeback.
So you had the opportunity to sign and go deeper, mm-hmm. but what you started to reflect, you saw this Grand Theft Auto is not sending a positive message.
The song wasn't a positive song. It wasn't a horrible song, but it wasn't it was that gray, you know, and you waver, and if I pursued it, then they will want more music like that. That would be my first introduction to the world. Uh-huh. Would be, you know, a song about guns or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that.
We're being tested in this life, and everyone has to sacrifice. And if we sacrifice in this life for the Creator, we get the reward in the next life. So inshallah, Allah accepts it that you sacrificed. You didn't sell out, because people sell out.
Yeah.
You know. So alhamdulillah, may Allah help us. The Creator help us to stay what's on the way that's pleasing to Him. So continue going on. You know, you grew up. In
mm-hmm. Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. And we want to reach out to the people out there who are having a hard time. You know, their cupboards are filled with Xanax, antidepressants, or maybe not even that, just drugs and alcohol. People have turned to the bad life, thinking it's the good life.
Right.
And you had a taste of that, mm-hmm. and you were just sharing with me a story. Right, you were telling me a story about, you know, you're involved in a community, yeah. and someone who was a former gang yeah. member, mm-hmm. mafia guy, whatever. Tell us about the story.
It's a guy who was he was known to be in the streets, and alhamdulillah, he took his shahada. We worked with him, and he took his shahada, became Muslim. And sometimes your old life, it just doesn't like disappear. You know, you do bad things, you got to pay the consequences. So he's been doing real good, you know, and recently, before I came out here, you know, he called me, emergency, he was texting me.
What was he like, for a former? He was like a big
I mean, he was a street boy, like a real life.
Like a drug lord or something like that?
I don't say a drug lord, but he was
like a big time.
He was a bad guy in the streets.
Troublemaker.
Yeah, he was a bad guy in the streets, you know.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, he became Muslim. Most of my friends who I played, like a lot of my friends I played basketball with, who I hung out with when I was in the streets hanging out, they become Muslim. So alhamdulillah, like, you know, bi'idhni Allah, that they can relate to what I'm saying, and they see me when I was down, and they, you know, see me now that I'm, you know, more conscious and getting involved in the community and pulling these guys away from these situations. And he called me, alhamdulillah, but what he wanted to do was street retaliation stuff. And we went to the masjid and we kicked it.
So you were saying the guy tried to shoot at him?
Well, a guy.
He saw the guy?
He seen it. He didn't know the guy, though.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it was some gang stuff going on from one side of town to the other side of town. He was just going to the store.
Yeah.
And he just came back in town, actually. You know, he went to the masjid in Virginia and he came back and somebody shot at him.
So he calls you now.
So he calls me and says, yo, somebody shot at me. This is what I want to do. I want to get whoever I think it is. And I said. Yeah.
So he's doing his instinct. That's what
instinct for him to say, you know, run up in a mother house, whoever, and get him. Whoever who he thinks. He don't even know who it is.
That's the street mentality.
That's the street mentality.
That's before Islam, though.
Before Islam.
Islam calms you down, puts you on the right path. You don't think like that no more.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
So I pick him up. The person who he thought it was. I knew the person who he thought it was. So I went and I investigated. Because it's. The guy was from my old neighborhood, so I went and investigated, and it wasn't that guy. So I went to him and explained that, you know, you have to have witnesses. First of all, in Islam, you just can't do something without having witnesses and knowing that, you know, appropriate, you know, ways to do it. And we went to the masjid, and we talked, and, you know, talked about Prophet Muhammad, and he was like, you're right, man. And alhamdulillah, he didn't do anything, and he just prayed, and he, you know, showed his growth, because...
So this situation is diffused.
It's diffused now.
Even we can't even take the law into our own hands.
Take the law into our own hands.
Yeah, man. So you diffuse the situation, and now is his brother coming around, that his character is changing, becoming a better human being all around?
Yes, man. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And you've seen, I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of the most, you know, corrupt people.
Yeah.
Have you seen them? And then how, after they, you know, submit to the will of God, submit to the will of Creator, that's what a Muslim is, right? But some people, like right now, because we have a lot of not yet Muslims out there, people, you know, everyone, I say always that everyone has this potential to submit to the Creator. But someone says, look, because nowadays you have all this false propaganda with violence being attributed to Islam. And they say, yep, that feeds into it. Brother got two swords around his neck. He's ready to chop us up. What do you got, what do you got to say about that?
This right here is just a shield of the Ottoman Turks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also a symbolism of I protect the purity in the art of poetry.
Yeah.
You know, I protect it, you know. But it's not like, this is, if you listen to my lyric, you just know, like, oh, he's not that type of guy.
Yeah.
But you know, a protector of the art, keeping it pure and keeping it, you know, fi sabil Allah.
Yeah, so it's not promoting to cut somebody up, right?
No. No, it's not. It's not.
It's not gold.
No, it's not gold either, man. It's brass, man.
You got people thinking all sorts of things. We want to just, you know, the skeptic out there, just answer, clear his doubts. We're gonna continue on with this interesting segment here on the Dean Show, with my brother and your brother Qadir Latif here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. Is your boss driving you crazy? Are you just living from paycheck to paycheck, party to party, and everything is just getting tiring, it's getting played out, and you're asking yourself, what's this all about? What's the purpose? Many people don't reflect on why am I here? You're born to die, and then what do you got in between? It's a big drama. Some days are good, some days are bad. Some days you're sick, some days you're sad.
We might not make it to 85 years old. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about. The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end. And you will be alone, and you will have to be accountable for everything you've done. Life is not all about just chasing that man or woman or that good time. It's not all about the baseball game and the basketball game and chasing a position and getting a lot of wealth and money. There's more to this life, and it's up to you to be sincere enough within yourself and to want to know more.
What's the purpose? What's it all about? Life.
The way to Allah's grace. This is the
back here on the Dean Show, and we're talking to Brother Latif. Tell us now, you know, for the person who, like, they love turning into the Dean Show because, you know, we talk about real issues, we try to connect with the people who are living in a culture that is cool to be bad.
Exactly.
Right? And it's cool to be out there in the nightclubs, you know, taking advantage of the women flaunting it for the men and getting taken advantage of. So you're also out there now, someone who's trying to help invite people to goodness, good organic way of living, a good wholesome life that's pleasing to the Creator, because we know that, you know, at the end we're gonna die and all this stuff is just a false mirage that people are chasing. So what do you, when someone is out there, you know, they're like, you know what, I don't wanna talk about religion, you know, all religions are man-made. How can someone be sure that, look, Islam is a way of life that's from the Creator? It's not just like every other man-made religion.
Right. If you believe in not believing in God, you still believe in something. And this is the concept people don't understand. If I say I believe in God, you say, okay, I don't believe in God, you still believe. So you have the understanding of belief, but then some people look at, you know, science and say, well, you know, science, everything was created through science. But even Allah God created science. If you look in the Quran, Allah talks about the clouds, and meteorologists, you know, 20 years ago just started, you know, discovering that when the clouds get a certain size, 25, 30 feet, they shoot out hail. Hail comes, forms. They layer, and then hail drops. In the Quran, it talks about, Allah said, I put mountains in the sky, and they hit, and the hail comes and hits who he pleases, who he wills. So meteorology, they study that and study the Quran. Say, how did the Quran know that? It talks about the moon, how the Allah used the, he compares it to a palm leaf, because the palm leaf was wet and it dries out. And he said, a dry palm leaf. And he said, this is the moon. But the scientists say the moon used to have water in it. And it dried out. How is this discovered? How the two seas meet together, the clean and the pure and the salt, and they never transgress. Well, Jacques Cousteau found this out. How 1400 years ago, Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, wasn't a scientist, you know? And also look at the nature. Look at the nature of Islam, the brotherhood in Islam. It's something it's a special bond where I know guys who went to jail. One guy went to jail. Another guy was in the street, took his shahada, a friend of mine. He came to the masjid. We praying together. We've been praying for like the last couple months. The guy gets out of jail and sees this guy. Now, this guy took like some dope, like robbed him for some drugs in their time of in the streets, in the dunya. They seen each other. They hugged and cried and loved each other because they both.
So they hated each other back in the days of ignorance.
Yeah.
They both became ones who submitted to the will of the Creator, Muslims. Mm-hmm. And now they got this love
them. Now they love each other.
Yeah.
You know? And this is all coming from Islam. How Islam, you can't like have a kufi on and say, okay, I'm gonna be Muslim, you Muslim, I know you Muslim, and I'm gonna shoot at you, we're gonna be whatever, you know. You see this sometimes in my community, you see people who say, you know, most of these guys killing each other, they say they're Christian. That's their understanding. But there's nothing to stop them and say, okay, I'm gonna kill you, you gonna kill me. It's just like, I think the example of Jesus, alayhi salam, has been kind of like smothered out a little bit, the true example. So Allah says, I've sent this Quran, you know, not as a new religion, but as a preservation and a confirmation of what I once sent. When you look in the Quran, you find everything about Jesus. You find Muslims doing everything Jesus do. We greet, peace be upon you. May God's peace and blessings be upon you. This is how Jesus greeted, may peace be upon him. When we pray, we prostrate to the floor. This is how Jesus, Abraham, Moses prostrated to the floor. They washed their hands, feet, and their face. This is what Jesus, Moses, and Abraham did. We don't eat pork.
And then let's talk a moment about pork, ham, bacon, pepperoni. These are some of the things that the scripture tells us we should not eat.
You know, we don't drink alcohol. The first miracle of Jesus was turning water into wine. This is according to the Bible. But the first miracle in Islam was Jesus speaking from the cradle. And if you look at the story of the wine, turning water into wine, you look at a contradiction because the master of the ceremony, according to the Bible, said, why have you brought us the good wine after we have been well drank? The scholars say that was about, he made about 450 gallons of wine. That's what Jesus made. The MC of the ceremony said, why have you brought us this good wine after we have been well drank? The sin in the Bible is to be drunk. So after you've been well drank, meaning you drank the good wine, then you drank the bad wine. That was the tradition. And after that tradition, according to the tradition, they drank the good wine, the bad wine. Then Jesus made 450 more gallons for a group of 300 to 350 amount of people. Then they'll be getting drunk. But you find these consistencies of alcohol. You find mentions of incest, that the prophets did incest. You find mentions of drunkenness. You find a drug mentioned in the Bible. It's called mandrake. A mandrake, also known as the devil's root. It was used medically for anesthesia. But it was on the black market. It was used as a date rape drug, like an ecstasy. So you find two stories in the Bible of mention in the Songs of Solomon that someone is taking the mandrake. According to love, I love my love, the mandrakes are fresh. Meaning, I love you, we're gonna take this mandrake. It has nothing to do with medical, but you find the Roman or European culture twinkled all through the Bible with a lot of incest, with drunkenness. But in Islam, Allah clears all the prophets of those things. So Islam is just bringing you back you know, to the pure that man has corrupted in the Bible and other.
Yeah, many of our brothers in humanity don't know that we believe that there is some of the word of the Creator in the Bible, but it's been contaminated, been corrupted. Mm-hmm. That's why you see some of those false stories that are attributed to the best examples of mankind. Mm-hmm. You see, the prophets were the best.
Right.
They can't be, you know, doing horrific crimes and expect, you know, us to be, you know, saints and angels, right? Have the best behavior. If they're doing, they have to have the most pristine character. And that's what Islam, Allah clears them of all these false notions. Like, you know, like you mentioned the incest. What was that? Prophet Lut with his.
If you just quickly on that. If the Christians believe, if you believe a sin is a sin, a sin is a sin. We're going to say a sin is a sin. That's what the Christians believe. The Bible teaches sin is a sin. So if a sin is a sin, why did God save Lot and his daughters, right? Now, when he sent this brimstone and his fire and brimstone down, it came down. And it came down so quick, it's like somebody shot a gun in this room, me and you would hit the floor. That's how it hit. Boom. Don't look back. Just run. So they run to the mountains, right? Now, later on in that story, his daughters get him drunk. At what point in time did they say, boom, the fire and brimstone come down? Hold on, let's wait, let's get this wine. Oh, hold on. Like, no, they didn't get wine. When would they get wine? You can't even look back. It was that serious. So they went and got the wine, went to the mountains, got him drunk, which was a sin. Incest, which was a sin. Fornication, which was a sin. So you're looking at one sin that of the homosexuality. If a sin is a sin, they did their one sin. That's their one sin. They did three sins. Why would God protect them and abolish them and keep them? You know, it's a contradiction. A crime is a crime. Yes, a crime is a crime. But there are different levels of penalty to every crime. They say that if you look at someone in Christianity, that it's just like doing it. But Allah says if you look at her, if you go get her number, but you remember me and say, you know, I can't do this. Allah rewards you for self-restraint. Mm-hmm. And you're not rewarded for self-restraint.
Yeah. Now, yeah, before we get off this topic, I mean, but did you clear, because you obviously, you've studied the Bible a little mm-hmm. bit. Most people who've accepted Islam, you know, they look at the different religions. They, you know, and then they come to Islam after they've investigated everything else. Most people become atheists because they see that all of these contradictions in the man-made religions, so they put it all in the same bunch and say all of this is man-made. But there's no way, if you really scrutinize Islam, you look at it sincerely, you'll see that it cannot come from the creation. It comes from the Creator. Now this idea, you know, we never want to hurt anybody's feelings. We sincerely want, you know, to educate the people and have them really look and think, you know, behind just blindly following their culture, their ancestors, mm-hmm. or their uncles, fathers, you know, closest of kin, and think for themselves. You'll never find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever said that he was God to worship him. Do you ever find that?
Never. You never find that he says, I am God. You find someone else saying it, but you never find him taking soul sonship either. You never find him saying, every time he said, I'm son, he will say, my God, your God. Mm-hmm. I'm a child and you're a child. You know, always made reference, our father, he always made reference to not just him. Never did he take sole ownership of just, I'm just the son. No, he said, we are all sons.
Yeah.
We are all children.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a son of God was someone who was pious, righteous, close to
that's
God.
It.
If you really look, if the African Americans look back at their history, if you can go, you watch the, was it the Roots? Mm-hmm. Kunta Kinte.
Kunta Kinte.
He was Muslim. He was one who submitted to the will of God, isn't it? It was the majority of Africa. They were Muslim. Any African American who goes back to deep to his roots.
The richest man that ever graced the crust of this earth, according to today's discovery, was Mansa Khan Khan Musa, who made Hajj and who went to Egypt and gave so much gold away that he changed the economy for 20 years. This is Mansa Khan Khan Musa, the king of Mali in the 13th century. You're talking about, look at Africans and look at the Timbuktu and the first universities where were built around three masjids. So this is something that shows you that before we came here, we weren't. But the Bible has certain passages that say, if you're a slave and you're a Christian slave, work even harder for your master. So who would that benefit? Mm-hmm. You know, they had to take Islam from us and they had to force us to accept the doctrine that enslaved us.
I heard, we got to go to break, but I heard, you know, this is historically true where, you know, the African Americans were given the Bible, and then they gave the African Americans the Bible, and then they took their land?
Took their land. They gave them the Bible, and it made them submissive. But the same person giving you heaven will never give you hell. The same person giving you hell will never give you heaven. So if I hate you, and I'm going to rape your mother and rape your babies and rape your husband, raping a man raping a man, and if they're going to do all that, they're going to say, hey, I love your buddy here. Find Jesus. Yeah. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah. As Muslims, we love Jesus. No Muslim is a Muslim unless you believe in Jesus. But like the brother just said, and many Christian scholars who have accepted Islam, nowhere did Jesus ever claim that he was God, a literal son of God, but he worshipped God. He was a Muslim, one who submits to the will of God. We'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show. You might see me
talking, but is it even this is my family. If I ain't got
faith, or faith, Eddie has always been stubborn. Since the end of the
beginning, he started having his problems, gang activity, fights.
One night, policeman called me, said, you, Eddie's father, come on, get him from the station. He's locked up.
One fight here, another fight there.
His physical being was great for his ego, but it left him empty.
I'm running here, running there. From the outside, people looking in said, hey, this is the man.
Everybody knew Eddie. At any given moment, he could have 7 to 8 women that are running around the club looking for him. He did things that he pushed himself to the ethical extremes that he could.
I have to get out of this totally.
Right near the end, there was just a void.
It was a constant struggle.
His inner soul was broken at that moment. There was that emptiness in his eyes. It was a bigger emptiness than I think I've ever really seen in his eyes. It was Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And he was struggling with that, but the effort was there. There was a conscious effort to make that switch.
People actually started talking behind his back. Look at him. He's starting to be a good guy. And
this was the reality. It was death.
Freddie's concept was he wanted to start showing Islam and spread it to the non-Muslims.
Well, people didn't know who I was.
Like, well, why are we doing this? No one's going to take you serious.
You're living a dream. And people were just stubbornly resistant. And I started looking at you like you're, you know, from outer space. I had to be out there and trying to convince people to be on the show.
That first episode of that show aired, I think that's when you saw the full formation come into hope. This guy's changed. What's going on here?
He's a machine, you know.
But to see someone change, to see their character changes, to see positive changes in their life, it's a sign of God.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we're talking to Brother Latif, former artist with the soundtrack that sold 6 million records on Grand Theft Auto, and you worked with the likes of Russell Simmons, and you investigated the different religions out there, and you came with full conviction now to know that, I mean, because everyone, even if you're born one in a Muslim family, you have to make a conscious decision because you have many people that are going with the rituals.
Right.
They haven't totally submitted, but you've investigated and you've seen, you know, that this is indeed from the Creator. So how do you, when you're talking to the rough and tough and, you know, the brothers and, you know, and humanity and people who are out there on the streets and they're just wasting their life, gang banging, selling dope, selling drugs, emulating 50 Cent and Jay-Z. What do you tell them, you know, to try to get them away from destroying their lives?
I mean, you have to understand the people. You have to understand the culture. You have to understand the mindset. You have to understand the pain. The pain is very important. Prophet Muhammad said, Salam, when you look at Prophet Muhammad said, Salam, and you look at when he came to Islam, before he came to Islam, Christians were thobes. Atheists were thobes. It wasn't, but he stayed that dress, he kept that dress because he didn't want to be unfamiliar. He added a kufi under the turban, or he added a kufi so he could, you know, the beard, so they can differentiate. So he wanted to look familiar, meaning you have to, people have to know that you can, you understand my plight. If he came over there with suit and tie, then they would look at him and say, well, first of all, you don't dress like me. I mean, you don't come from where I come from. So visuals is, I feel, a big thing. So with Islam, I try to, even though I'm Muslim, I try to keep the dress of the people in my community. Meaning I won't wear silk, I won't wear gold, I won't wear tight stuff, but I wear things that's modest, like the Quran prescribes us. So we can first have a visual understanding that I come from where you come from. Second, I know the pain and the hurt and the wants and the pleasures and desires that this dunya gives because I chased it also. But there's something greater. There's something way greater than this moment of getting drunk or a moment of smoking weed or having a little money and then spending it and always chasing it. There's something much greater when you leave here. And I got to ask him, do you believe that? Do you believe that when you die, what's going to happen? Is this going to be over? Is this, you just going to fall asleep? That's not, no, you got to pay to play. There's a price to everything you do. And I have to remind him that there's a price. And I said, look, if you Christian, look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus' life, some people say, what would Jesus do? But it's not, they don't really do what Jesus did. So you have to say, what would Jesus, if you really believe what would Jesus do, then look at the way Muslims conduct their lives every day. Pray without ceasing, it says in the Quran. Pray without ceasing, without stopping.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah. It's Paula. It's in the Bible. It says, pray without ceasing. So you look at, I ask people, how do you pray without ceasing? Just walk and just pray. No, how do you pray without ceasing? Without stopping? You stay in the prayer mind and I'm focusing and no, that's not even, you know, realistic. Mm-hmm. But if you look in the Bible, Peter looked at the sun and told Jesus it's time to pray. It's a verse in the Bible that says that. But he said, look at the sun, it's time to pray. So you look at Islam and we look at the sun and we know by certain positions of the sun going down tonight, sundown.
What time it is, it's time
to pray. So you find these things that confirm each other and it pushes them. But when people come to Islam from, you know, Christianity or from the streets, they find a peace that they couldn't find in that life, even though they had money. You have people coming to Islam that have so much money, and they may not have the same amount of money, but they have a lot more peace. And this is what Islam gives. It's a peaceful submission, and this is what people really want, because the fitra, the natural inclination, is to do good. And we have to start aiming at that, not judging them, not coming down on them, but waking that aspect of them up, mm-hmm, through reminding.
That's a good reminder. Judging is one thing, that's left for the Creator, but giving the sweet advice. That advice that if somebody was to give you advice to invest in a stock that's gonna hit high, you know, 100% guarantee you'd be investing, right? But this deen, when you invest this way of life from the Creator, you got nothing but good that's gonna come from it in this life and definitely in the paradise in the next. So we're almost out of time, but you do this what's called a spoken word, like, mm-hmm, poetry,
yeah,
without all the guitars and all the other stuff, right? You do it just.
I made a CD with pure natural sounds.
Pure natural sounds, mashallah.
Well, no, now I do have, you know, according to I had like a hip hop CD, but yeah. I try to make something that's halal that I feel, you know.
So you talk about the prayer in this,
yeah,
right? Because you got a lot of those people who, again, this is the advice because we love, you know. If you don't love for your brother, you know, love for your brother what you love for yourself, you're not truly believing. So we love for our brothers to connect with the Creator, to the ones who haven't accepted this beautiful way of life, the way of life that Jesus lived, Abraham lived. Because Abraham was not a Jew or a Christian. He was one who submitted to the will of God. That's a Muslim, right? Jesus was a Muslim. All the prophets were Muslim. They submitted to not Jesus or to human beings. They submitted to God, to the Maker. So after that step, there's a time that you have to commit. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just fit Islam in, right, where, mm-hmm, you want it. You got to fit everything else into Islam. So many people are not praying, but, you know, not going to Jummah. So we want to give that advice. And you give it through the spoken word,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So can you go ahead and share some of that with us that addresses some of these things, you know, the abandonment of prayer and Jumu'ah and some of the other vices, mm-hmm. help motivate, you know, some people to do these wonderful actions.
Okay, I said, I never ask a man for help, I ask Allah, and think about death so I stay in a sirat. And when no one's looking, you sneak and give zakat. Allahu la ilaha shaitan, leaving out my spot. You rush to work, but you late for salat. A Muslim never brags, but his actions say a lot. You don't care, stalk for law. You don't share, stalk for law. You fear the cops, but you have no taqwa law. You want a piece of the prophet, but not peace for the prophet. You want a piece of the prophet, but not peace for the prophet. See, that money is your Lord, so you worship an object. You don't invest into your deen. No spiritual deposit, it's the message and the messenger. Protected like Sahabas, gotta clean out my closet like Muhammad did the Kaaba. Stay away from the Falana when death is upon you. So we run to colleges, but don't run to Milanas. No Kitab or Quran. You learn words to a song, hypnotized by a thong. You ain't watching for shaitan. You watch the weight you put on. Fantasized by calories while Palestine count casualties. Fantasized by calories while Syria count casualties. And sheikhs at grave recite Yasin over anatomies. Where your reality is Applebee's. Johnny was hanging slave from apple trees. No apple seeds, just lowercase lies and capital catastrophes. Bold print blasphemy, italic strip idolatry. And you can find me where the scholars be, saying Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Ghafur. Got my head on the ground and my knees on the floor. And the devil on my ear, Eddie, telling me to trade it for the world. But I won't trade it for the girls. I won't trade it for the pearls. I won't trade it for the cars. I won't trade it for the G's. I got love for my ock, and I pull him out the street. Because if you're laying with the dogs, then you're sleeping with the fleas. And the pen is mightier. So I'm writing Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabir. Al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabir. No blunts in the air. No punks in my square. No tight jean hair. They get pushed to the rear. Just a pump in the snare. Leave them slumped from the fear. I got Shahada on my lips. Asking Allah to bring me closer to you. Hold me like a baby. Islam is the truth. And that's no ands, ifs, buts, or maybes.
Damn! MashaAllah. Hey, alhamdulillah. Thank you for being with us here on the Deen Show. I hope that woke up some people from the deep sleep that they're in. You know, touch some of the hearts. May the creator of the heavens and the earth reward you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. You know, praising the creator. You know, doing the wonderful things that he's told us to do. I hope... you know, listening to some of that poetry woke some of the hearts up that are in a deep sleep. Like the brother said, hypnotized by a thong or some Jay-Z song. I mean, that stuff's really not going to help to develop you to be the best human being that you can be. And that's, you know, what the Creator wants from us. That's why he sent messengers throughout time. And none of them called human beings to worship human beings. You know, Jesus never called people to worship himself. You know, Abraham, Moses, and the other messengers that the Creator sent, Muhammad being the last, they all came with this straightforward, simple message. Worship the Creator, not His creation, and do good. Prepare for death, because after death, you're going to be judged. It's a day of judgment. People want justice, and you might have went through all sorts of trial in this life, because this life is a test, and many people might have not gotten brought to justice, and everyone wants justice. So what would it be if the person who believed in God and gave the most out of their wealth, and at the end that person suffered so much, I mean, and they just died? It doesn't make sense. In the next life, they'll be rewarded. Or the criminals that just did all sorts of scandalous things, ripped off everybody and their mother, and killed and pillaged and raped. At the end, it doesn't make sense that person just dies and that's it. It's finished. The Hitlers of the world, for example. But that's why the Day of Judgment, it just makes sense. It makes sense. And that is what all the messengers of God brought and taught. They gave the good news that if you do good, suppress your desires, work for the hereafter, be in this life as a traveler, but be the best that you can be. You know, whatever career you chase, be the best. But be a best and don't forget the test that we're living. And then prepare, you know, for that day of judgment. And they also gave the warning about the hellfire. This is a reality. It's a reality. So I hope that you got to benefit. Continue to tune in every week here to the Deen Show, where we have a new show for you. You can call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. We'll see you next time. Start right now. Just one thing I forgot. You know, if you're in that situation where, you know, we mentioned Xanax and antidepressants, and you're hitting the bottle, and you know what? You've just been used and abused by all these men, and the men, you know, taking advantage of the women. You just don't have peace. Start right now. You know, shed a tear for your creator. Ask the creator, and he'll facilitate a way. Do that right now before we end. Just say, God, the creator, my maker, guide me. Guide me, guide me. He'll facilitate a way. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be unto you.